Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Number 14's Best SF Show, and it is the first September 2015 airing, September 7th, 2015, and welcome. So we have a lot to talk about tonight on the holiday, a pretty Labor Day intensive, because we'll be talking about The Falling Skies, Teen Wolf, Whispers, Scream, finales, as well as Fear the Walking Dead pilot. So without further ado, why don't we play our Falling Skies finale as we'll discuss the final two episodes of that show. So here we go. Okay, so Falling Skies, episode 509, Reunion, and then 510, Reborn. Reunion was a 0.5 with 1.76 million viewers, and Reborn was a 0.6. It did climb up a little bit in the ratings for its finale with 2.394 million viewers. And it's all about this overlord queen that we sort of saw in a vision that Ben had back in episode 508. And the 42 militias are now reporting to Tom Mason, and he speaks to them and says they need to wait outside of D.C. for the final confrontation with the Queen. And then Tom has a vision of a massive ship emerging from the water with a beamer attached to it. And the alien, as his wife, appears telling him the Aspeni destroyed her race, and gives him a capsule that will exterminate all of them, including the queen. Matt and Maggie, meanwhile, find Lexi in the woods, and she's brought to the base, and Anne sees her, and Anne remains very unfeeling towards her daughter. Meanwhile, Tom returns and talks to Lexi, and she says something pulled her from the ship. And Tom tells her about the queen arriving in the States. And Lexi says the Aspeni objective has changed from invasion to occupation. So while this is going on, Anne examines the capsule, and it sprays out a liquid with tentacles. And Anne thinks it's too dangerous. And then to top it all off, Pope comes in blazing with Anthony, but then Anthony rescues Anne and gets shot in the back in the crossfire. And Pope wants Tom. And Tom and Dan blow up these gas tanks, and so they bury Pope in the rubble. So is Pope dead because the stones fall all on him? Wait until the finale. Then Tom talks to Lexi, and Lexi tells him the queen was here before. And then she pulls him into the cell and starts choking him, but then Ben throws that alien capsule at her, and she disintegrates. And then Anthony rejoins the second mass, and it looks now like basically they destroyed the Aspeni hub, and then Tom contacts the militias, but is interrupted when this massive hornet appear overhead. And the hornets attack the second mass, and Marty, one of the characters that tell Dan Weaver and his crew hostage and then join the group, dies. And Tom tries to inspire hope by saying they will win this war. And then the second mass meets up with Mason's militia. And Enos says they're Tom's backup. And they get a radio communique regarding a wall which is 20 feet high in D.C. protecting the Queen at the Lincoln Memorial. So they're going to get through using the service tunnels. So they go through the tunnels and see these glowing eggs, and they're going to hatch into these violent overlords because they become very violent at the beginning of their, as soon as they emerge from their fetal state, Kenny thing. And then Anne tells Tom she's pregnant and he kisses her. Then an overlord, egg hatches, killing one, and more baby overlords are down there. So Hal proposes to Maggie, meanwhile, and she says yes. And then an explosion occurs, bringing rocks down, sealing the tunnel with Tom on the other side. And they're going to find another tunnel on the other side, but Tom gets out on the other side and sees the Queen. And then the Queen talks to Tom about visiting their planet 1,500 years ago. Her daughter was killed, so she now plans to avenge her death. And Tom says they will never surrender. And then Anne is in pain, collapses, and she's bleeding. And Tom uses the bioweapon on the Queen. She explodes, and then he screams, and the rest of the Asfeni die throughout the entire planet. And then Anne dies. Tom sees her and cries, and he takes her in his arms and calls out to the aliens who saved him to help her. And the tentacles encircle Anne and take her down into the waters. And then Pope makes a miraculous appearance, offers him his gun, and Tom says he won't kill. The war is now over. So Matt, then, the final scene is writing from his diary, the last world war from those who fought it. Tom is impressed with that diary. Anne is alive. I guess the aliens came through after all. And they are rebuilding. And so Tom delivers a speech at the Lincoln Memorial using Matt's words from his diary. And we are not alone, he basically says. And I do know that what they wanted to do is show an Asfeni scuttling away in the Lincoln Memorial, as well as an Asfeni at the ending there, showing that not all the aliens were destroyed, but they botched, or they just turboed that ending because they felt the more inspirational hope ending was the one that they really wanted to do. Really good stuff there. Okay, let's now talk about The Last Ship, episodes 211 and 212. 211, the Valkyrie, received a 0.7 rating with 2.69 million viewers. Remember, 10,000 people were bombed in New Orleans, so the Nathan James was set up. And Sean Ramsey communicates to the survivors that the Nathan James is responsible, and it's part of a larger conspiracy to take over the country, and that the Navy created the virus. And he also says the Nathan James kidnapped the president. So Valkyrie is the communication network Ramsey is commuting, and the president wants to get on that network to speak to the American people. So the Nathan James tries to track the signal, and they find the source is at this oil rig. So meanwhile, the president makes a video, explains the Nathan James found a cure. The real villain is Sean Ramsey, not the U.S. Navy. So while that's being done, Chandler is on a boat heading to the oil rig. They get on it. They find a control room, and they also find a girl there. She's Valerie, a.k.a. Valkyrie. She created the network. So Chandler wants her to hear the president's message. But then a boat comes and bazookas the rig. Chandler is stunned, along with the lieutenant, and their means of transport is wrecked. Another bazooka hits them. But the Nathan James chopper destroys the boat, but the rig has a gas leak. They have to find where it's coming from, and it's the main valve. And the rig blows, but the chopper retrieves the team along with Valerie, and she sees several die, including Ruby, who basically has something protruding from her back. And then Chandler is injured, and he has a shrapnel hit and falls down, but he's stabilized. And so it was a group of Americans who destroyed the rig. They got riled up showing Sean's videos, but the network is now gone forever. So So then Nathan James remembers their fall and Val sees Chandler and thanks him for rescuing her, and he still needs her and wants her to see who they are and what's in her bag can help them. And that's how that concludes. Then in the second episode, the last ship, Cry Havoc, which went up a little bit in the ratings to a 0.8 with 2.96 million, Chandler wants to attack Ramsey's sub today. And Val is going to link back into Valkyrie using what she has in her bag. So the Nathan James is blocked in the canal, and boats are forming a blockade around it, but Val is sending fake messages that the Nathan James is on the move, and they send Ramses to a location they select. So Slattery, the XO, is escorting Dr. Scott, the medical team, the kids, the cure, and the president off of the Nathan James in the woods to go dark, because this is a plan that can destroy the Nathan James. And Val starts transmitting these bogus messages, and the sub heads where the Nathan James is. Then James heads out and doesn't see American ships blocking them. So it's working. And Dr. Scott sees some civilians who are infected. She touches the child and breathes on her, curing her. And the mother says they heard the sub was getting some serious artillery to take the Nathan James out. So Sean Ramsey concludes Val is responsible for the fake messages. So the sub is advancing, and the Nathan James waits, and the sub is directly below them, and it can't fire on them. So the sub starts to accelerate, but the Nathan James fires torpedoes. The sub does too. The Nathan James gets hit, and they're out of underwater weapons. And the sub did get hit, but even worse. So Slattery finds missiles at this camp that are going to attack the Nathan James, and gunfire ensues, and Slattery gets injured and kills the one ready to fire the missiles. And when the sub surfaces behind the Nathan James, Slattery fires the missile intended for the Nathan James. It hits the sub. He fires a second, and then the Nathan James missile hits the sub, and Ramsey cries out. So is this the end? Not quite. We still have something else in store for the finale, which we'll review next week. Okay, so basically Teen Wolf, episode 5-10, Status as Maticus, the mid-season finale, received a 0.4 rating with 958,000 viewers. Probably its lowest mid-season finale ever. Let us play our Teen Wolf theme song and then let's review it, shan't we? So here we go. Haley is dying, and Scott's mom is trying to get the silver out of her. Meanwhile, Lydia is with Parrish in his cell trying to comfort her. And Malia knew Stiles killed Donovan, but it doesn't matter to her. Lydia, he wants all of them, and knocks Lydia out. And then Malia sees a wolf, and it changes into Theo. Meanwhile, Parrish changes and burns through the bars of his cage, and he walks out. And Scott gets a call from Lydia. He goes to the library and sees Theo is there touching the mountain ash. And he explains he's the first Chimera. And Scott tries tangling with him, but the ash prevents him from leaving. And the supermoon is coming when he'll really change. Malia finds another Chimera. They fight, and she's saved. And Scott can't get out even on the rooftop of the library. He finds out Theo gave him Wolf's Bane and his nebulizer, so Liam, as a wolf is there, confronts him while Haley is dying. And Scott battles Liam because Liam is pissed that he didn't save Haley. And so they go through the skylight. and Liam beats the crap out of Scott, and Scott absorbs the rays of the moon and changes. Meanwhile, Parrish goes to the auto impound and takes the van with the dead Chimera in it. And Malia is told the Desert Wolf is coming for her. And then Theo tells Stiles he came for others, but not Scott. And Stiles starts punching Theo. And then Scott says Theo wants Scott to be killed. And he can't take the alpha from him, but Liam can. And the battle continues, and Liam attacks him savagely. Then Mason comes and says Haley has died. And so Liam races out. And Theo attacks Scott with his claws, injuring him severely, and dies. Dies? Scott dies? Meanwhile, Theo killed Scott, or it looked like Theo killed Stiles' dad. And Liam is with Hayden, and Parrish comes and takes her. And then Mom tries resuscitating Scott, and she does revive him, and he tells her he lost everyone, and Mom tells him to give them hope. And then Theo goes to the Nimaton, activates all the Chimera that are dead there that were put there by Parrish in the syringe. He activates all of them, including Haley, and he says he's the new alpha now, and all of them belong to him. Wow, he is the super big bad. Okay, now we have The Whispers, the final two episodes of this season, or maybe of the series. Episode 112, Traveler in the Dark. It picked up in the ratings. In fact, the last two episodes picked up pretty much, from a 0.5 to a 0.6 with 2.68 million, and then Game Over, the season finale, even increased a little bit more from 0.6 to 0.7 with 2.75. So Wes doesn't think Minx is possessed by Drill. And Claire sees Minx in restraints, and she takes Minx's gloves off and is about to touch her hands, but Minx refuses to touch her. And then Henry confirms Minx touched Cassandra, and there were burns on Cassandra's arms. And then Silas said he saw Minx by the dead body of Dr. Benavides, and he's sure he saw her. So Claire concludes Drill is in Minx. But then Wes talks to Minx, and she says her brain is fuzzy. She can't recall Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star words, the lullaby anymore. And then Wes leaves and breaks down in the hallway. And then Wes wants Claire to tell him Minx is gone. And then the president is told Drill is in Minx, and this time the president wants to make the right choice. So Minx is taken. It's going to end today, according to the Secretary of Defense. Wes is escorted off the base, and they're going to kill Minx. And then Sean tells the reporter the entire story, and it's going to break in 2 hours, and the president will reveal to the public everything before that time, and wants all the kids released in the meantime, and they are. And he's going to reveal to everyone at a press conference what's going on. And Sean thinks Cassandra is Drill because her secret code name was Orion. And basically, remember, Drill said everything will be okay once he reaches Orion. So Drill is in the White House, and basically Drill Minx all this time. And Minx is taken to a room where she's going to be killed. Wes returns breaking into the base. The president starts the press conference and talks about the alien menace and says the war is over and they won. And then Cassandra gets on the airwaves and screams at the top of her lungs. And they stop the sequence to kill Minx, and Wes is reunited, but Drill has signaled to his friends out in space. So this brings us to Game Over. Cassandra sent a message through her screams, and Cassandra tells Claire it's the beginning of the domination of the humans. And Cassandra is in the cell at the secure facility. So Drill destroys Cassandra's body, and all the kids go into a trance and then recover. And it looks like Drill's friends answered his message. So Thomas Harcourt, Thomas Harcourt's father, picked up the signal and translated it as 111215, similar to Sean's tattoos. And the adults abduct Claire and Sean Benigan. Now, who are these adults? They are both tied up, and they tell them to sit tight. It will be over soon. And these adults are the kids that were affected in the 1980s when the first drill came. So Wes finds Thomas's dad is dead, and the ships are coming via space, and they are rocks with glowing blue lights on them, just like the rock that intercepted Sean's plane and got buried in the desert. It's actually a ship. And Wes fights adults in the house. Jessup is locked in a car trunk via his wife, who's also one of the infected adults. Wes follows them into the warehouse, jumps, and Sean gets free, and Wes has to shoot the woman holding Claire. And then the blue light floods a warehouse, and Claire says, "They're here. The blue lights are over the entire world." Minx heads out into the woods. Other kids situate themselves at positions, and they use Henry to translate the message, but he won't say anything. And they try hitting the rocks with missiles, but the rocks are not gone. It doesn't work. And Henry can't speak, so they use sign language. And the message is a question. Are the children ready? And the aliens are there for the kids. It's not an invasion. They want to take the kids with them, like a la Torchwood's miniseries, Children of the Earth. So Sean, Wes, and Claire look for Minx. Henry positions himself, the light shone on the kids, including Henry and Minx, and the kids are disappearing, but Claire gets transported. She pushes Henry out of the way, and she gets transported onto the ship. The rock leaves, and the same thing is happening around the world. Wow. So we may not know how this story ends, except it doesn't end well for the kids and for Claire, if indeed that is the ending. Okay, what about the final two episodes of Scream? Well, episode 109, The Dance, it received a 0.28, which was a series low with 554,000. And then it picked up a little bit in Revelations, the season finale. And it has been picked up for a season two with a 0.3 with 756,000. So, okay, it's Halloween, and Seth Palmer, a.k.a. Seth Branson, is arrested. The sheriff feels they have their man, so the Halloween dance is going to be held. Emma wants to see Seth Branson, and she does, and he denies he did anything. So Noah and Audrey are shocked that Emma's mom had a baby with Brandon James, and that's revealed. And Piper finds out where Brandon's mom is. Where Brandon James's mom is. So Piper and Emma see her, and she talks to Emma as though she's still her mom. And also says Brandon's son came by and said his name was Seth. So Emma's happy because they feel they've got the right person. So Kieran resumes his relationship with them, and they're going to the dance together. Meanwhile, Ghostface knocks out the sheriff, and Kieran is going to meet Emma at the dance, and Tex has something to do first. And so the dance commences. Audrey and Noah see one of Rachel's vids of Kieran leaving the bar with Nina. And Kieran shows up, apologizes to him, and they dance. And then Audrey shows the video clip to Em. And Em is not affected, but tells Kieran about the video of Nina and him at the bar. He says, yes, they met at the bar, and he drove her home but didn't do anything. And Kieran says if she doesn't trust him, then Branson is one, and walks away. First showed Branson to Brandon's mom again and said it was not Tim, but Kieran. So the lights go out and a video plays of the sheriff being tied up and being tortured by AKA Ghostface. And Seth has escaped jail, and it's a bloodbath. So this next part I should have seen coming, but I didn't, unfortunately, in Scream Revelation. Seth Branson has escaped jail. There's dead bodies all over the station, and Sheriff Clark been kidnapped. And so Ghostface broadcasts the sheriff being tied up and calls Emma, saying, tonight is the big finale. Meanwhile, Em's mom pulls out a heart necklace from a dead guard's mouth, and it was a necklace that Brandon gave her, and he gave her gifts in a treehouse. So they find Clark by the treehouse and free him, but his guts come out as Em's mom frees him, and he dies. And Ghostface then is at Brooke's party, and this is the final showdown. So a dead body is found and Ghostface gets Audrey. Then Seth shows up and tells Brooke he was set up in jail. Face released him. But Brooke doesn't believe him and won't let Seth in. Then Ghostface appears and he pursues Brooke and she hides in a container, a freezer, in the garage. Ghostface locks her in it and starts stabbing at it and then activates it. Then Noah and Emma get to Brooke's. They find Karen with a gun. Em tells Karen he might be the son of Brandon James. He denies it and is told his dad is dead. And then Em hugs him. Meanwhile, Jake, Em, and Karen get Brooke out of the freezer and Jake watches over her. And then Noah finds Audrey. Ghostface calls Emma and says he's at the dock at the lake at the lake where he died. And Em finds her mom and Ghostface is there on, and get this. Ghostface unmasks and it's Piper Shaw, her sis. She is going to frame Branson for the death. And Piper stabs the mom and ready to kill Em. But then Audrey shoots Piper and then Em shoots her again. So it looks like Piper Shaw is officially dead. And the mom is going to survive. But at the end, we see that Audrey has been in communication with Piper all this. And the way she killed her so mercilessly, is Audrey going to assume the killing in season two? Or is it going to be an entirely different story? Don't know yet. We'll just have to wait and see. Okay. And let's see. Fear the Walking Dead is what we want to do next, the pilot movie, and then followed by The Strain and all the other episodes that we have to play catch up with. Okay, so Fear the Walking Dead, episode 101. It received a 10.13 rating with 4.9 million viewers. It was the highest rated cable show ever, which is fascinating. So this teenage boy, Nick, is a drug addict who's shooting up in a church and looking for his lover, Gloria, and sees a dead body on the stairs and sees Gloria feeding on another, and she's a zombie, and he peels out and gets hit by a car. And Nick's mom, Maddie, is a guidance counselor, intimate with a high school teacher at the school where she works, Travis. And she has a daughter, Alicia, as well as the son, Nick. And the police at the hospital are checking out Nick's story. And the mom comes and wants to know why his son is in restraint. And then Travis's son, Chris, doesn't want to see his dad. So Travis tells his ex, Lisa, to keep him. And Maddie deals with the student, Tobias, meanwhile, who has a blade. She takes it from him. And he's worried about the virus infecting people, so he's let go. So then Travis is with Nick, and Nick wakes up having a nightmare. He tells Travis about Gloria coming at him, and she was eating the dead. And Travis thinks it's drugs, but he checks out the church and sees a crazed teen take off and sees blood on the ground. So Travis does not think he's lying. Something major happened. Alicia, meanwhile, feeds Nick breakfast in the hospital, and Nick tells her he's ending it now. He's not taking drugs anymore. And then Nick hears an old man moaning next to him. The man goes critical and is wheeled out, and Nick gets freed then of his restraints and leaves. Meanwhile, Maddie wants to go back to the church. Travis takes her. She sees blood on the floor, remarking something bad happened there, and they keep looking for Nick. And meanwhile, Alicia's boyfriend, Matt, stands her up, so something has happened to her. And then Maddie and Travis are in a traffic jam at night. They hear shots, and they drive off. And the teachers view footage of people attacking others and getting shot by the police and advancing until one gets shot in the head and drops. Meanwhile, Nick meets up with Cal, the drug supplier, and wants to know what he gave him. Cal takes him to this isolated place because he's involved with the police. And Cal gets a gun, and he wants to shoot Nick, but they tango, and Nick accidentally shoots Cal. And then Maddie and Travis find Nick and says he shot Calvin. They look for him and find his car, and he's gone. And then they see Cal behind their truck, and Cal wants to bite them. So Nick runs him over, but he's still alive. Nick hits him again with the car, and he's still moving. And that, basically, is how Fear of the Walking Dead ends. Wow. Okay, so then this brings us to The Strain, episode 207, The Bourne. where it has dropped in the ratings, and it might be dropping in the ratings because of the Walking Dead new series. It dropped from a 0.6 to a 0.4, even though it has been picked up for season 3 with 950,000 viewers. So Quinlan, we see, was a gladiator and was called the Night Demon of Sicily, the one that's going to combat the master. So Fed and Dutch get intimate, and they find Dutch's girlfriend, Nikki, back at her place. And after he's treating his gunshot wound and goes to the bar and gets a few drinks in him, and then Nikki is brought to the Satrakians, and Nora treats her ankle, and Fett doesn't like the fact that Dutch and Nikki are now getting close again. And so Satrakian and Fett break into the Stoneheart factory, find a school bus for the blind there, and see some dead vampire kids, and it's a nursery, a breeding ground. And then the kids return, but they retreat because they sense the presence of a hunter who slices the kids and shoots them up, and he recognizes the professor and says hello. And his name is Quinlan. And Quinlan's been hunting the mask all of his life. And in the 1870s, he went to the castle and meets up with the vampires and slays them with the cane that Satrakian now has. And Quinlan says the master has taken a new form, says he is there in this nesting place. So F goes back to Satrakian's. Nora treats his wound, tells him Palmer had Rob murdered, and F reunites with Zack. Meanwhile, Satrakian sees the lifeless shell of the master, and the new master talks to Quinlan, and Eichhorst is there too, but Fett plants bombs, and they go off before Quinlan can destroy the master. And then Satrakian finds out Quinlan's nickname was the Born, and Fett is drinking with F in the bar, and F says he is going to kill Palmer. Wow. Okay, way point for tonight. So we still have the episodes Extant, Beauty and the Beast, Under the Dome. We have two Dominions to review, two Dark Matters to review, a Defiance and a Killjoy. And we are playing catch up with Dark Matter, Dominion, and Killjoy. So we'll be finishing that roundup so we can start reviewing Z Nation and Continuum next week. Okay, Extant, episode 210, Don't Shoot the Messenger. It increased a little bit in the ratings from a 0.7 to a 0.8 with 4.9 million viewers. Molly has a vision of J.D. bleeding. She did it to him. She awakens and is an old woman. And the base is on lockdown. A reactivated Lucy is leading the humanics against the hybrids. Molly peels off her skin and gray hair, and she's young again. And she's locked inside with her eyes glowing. So Ethan sees her and overrides the lockout. He joins her, and J.D. sees her too. Meanwhile, Tara, the hybrid adolescent, is ready to spread the human viruses. And Molly is allowed entry. They talk. But Tara is going to blow up the chamber. And Tara is controlling Toby at one point. And Molly tries talking Tara down. And Molly gets the control and deactivates it. Then Ethan, Tara, J.D., and Molly go to a safe house. Meanwhile, the bomb goes off in the Global Space Commission, and they're trying to frame Molly and J.D. for it, while the hybrids left in the evac tunnels. And the Madam Secretary wants Molly brought in dead or alive, and Lucy is ordered to comply. Meanwhile, Julie tells Toby that Anna was responsible for John Woods' death. And J.D. says Molly molted in the room, and Molly says she's stronger now and more alive. And Molly takes off and meets up with Toby, and he says Nicholas Calderon rewrote the humanic protocols. And Toby thinks Nicholas killed John, and the humanics are now answering to him. Then Ethan collapses, and Molly returns, and Ethan is overloading. So Molly has to do a hard shutdown, and Molly and J.D. take Ethan to Jules. Meanwhile, Lucy finds out Toby is the mole, and Toby's security clearance is revoked. Toby is under arrest, but says Calderon is leading the humanics. The Madam Secretary doesn't believe him. And then Toby gets free and calls Molly, but his car is blown up. Meanwhile, Ethan has a message from John, who talks through Ethan and says Calderon is the only hope. So is he the destroyer, or is he the savior of the human race? Wow, a little bit more complex there. All right, in the penultimate episode before the season finale of Beauty and the Beast, 312, Sins of the Fathers, it fluctuated again, went to a 0.2 rating with 920,000 viewers. Kat hits someone with her car. It's Liam who kills her. This is all a dream. And Vincent wants to inject Liam with a mind-altering drug to make him amnesic, like he was, and wants Kat's father, Reynolds, to wipe his memories clean. And JT, meanwhile, is playing semi-pro hockey and gets his goal, and Tess did this for him. Meanwhile, Internal Affairs is lodging a complaint against Kat, who confronted Helen Ellingsworth when she shouldn't have. They are opening a formal review of her record over 3 years. And Helen Ellingsworth is brought to a hospital in the meantime, toxic amount of thallium in her system, and someone is trying to kill her, and Vincent accuses Liam, so he's going to try to save her life. Meanwhile, Kat speaks to her dad and tells him her plan, wants to know what formula he used, and Reynolds wants to get out to help her, but she gets the formula. And then Liam visits Helen and tells him he's going to right the wrongs of his family by killing them all. And she flatlines and sees Vincent and tells him Liam killed her. Well, that Vincent killed her, really. He didn't know she was allergic to the treatment. And now Vincent is put on probation at the hospital. So Heather and Kat prepare the drug as Vincent breaks Reynolds out of prison. Reynolds helps with the drug concoction. Tess is pissed when she sees Reynolds. And Reynolds says this is his opportunity to make amends. Liam is planning Helen's funeral at 3 p.m., where in the vault, and he's going to kill the others. And Vincent tranks Liam, and Kat uses the gem on him, and he passes out, and he's brought to JT. And they draw some of the blood out, and he's given the drug, and he starts to forget, and he confuses Rebecca for Kat. But he gets out anyway. Meanwhile, an explosion occurs in the church. The relatives are trapped in the crypt. They find another bomb that Kat deactivates, and Vincent removes the rocks with his powers, and the others are freed. But it looks like Liam has killed Reynolds, her father, and Liam's blood is now healing JT, and Liam is watching Kat and Vincent at the bar. So this is leading up to the season finale. And then we have Under the Dome, episode 311. Love is a battlefield. And it went from a 0.8 to a 0.9 with 4.60 million viewers. Let's play our little theme song of Under the Dome. Here we go. So Eva is going to have a baby very soon, within a day. And Hector Martin is developing a cure but needs Christine Price's DNA, so Big Jim is going to get it. Julia does find a strand of Christine's hair, and Junior is going to be the test subject for the cure. Meanwhile, Christine wants to split the amethyst into 7 pieces so that they can bring down the dome before they die. Hector comes clean. Patrick could not recover from the cure, so James may not either. So this cure is developed, and Big Jim wants to give it to James. Meanwhile, Christine takes Joe to the dome that is calcifying, and they need to get out of the dome. Meanwhile, Junior is inoculated, and then he's burning up. And then Eva suspects Barbie is not one of them. He puts something in her tea. She collapses. He drives off with Eva and will stay with her until she gives birth. And Christine is dying and saying her cycle is coming to an end, so Joe has to work as fast as he can. James is awake on fire, but thanks his dad for not giving up on him. And then Eva's going into labor. She's taken to a motel where Julia is also coming to. And Julia and Barbie force Eva to push, and the baby is born. Meanwhile, Joe cuts the amethyst into 7 pieces. And Big Jim loosens Junior's restraints when he says they're too tight. He's free and throws Big Jim against the wall, and the guards tangle with him, and he kills them and takes off. He's apparently not cured. So Hector did not develop a cure. And then Eva nurses the baby, and they're both alien, and Eva pushes Barbie through the window, and Hector wants to kill them all, and Jim is okay with that. And then Christine sees Eva and the baby, and she's so proud. Christine then suffocates Eva, then sings a lullaby to the kid and picks her up. Very strange. So, two more episodes of Under the Dome that we need to review there. Okay, why don't we do that? Let me see. Why don't we do that? Nah, we'll do that next time. Okay, so, Dominion, two episodes, 206, Reap the Whirlwind, and 207, Lay Thee Before Kings. It's hovering in the point twos. It dropped to a 0.23 Dominion, where people are dead in Vegas. David detonated the bombs, and Zoe is pissed David has destroyed the city, but Zoe agrees with David that they have started a revolution. Meanwhile, Julian has Gabriel prisoner, and Alex searches for Michael and finds him. And Alex removes the fish hooks from Michael's body. Meanwhile, David broadcasts Zoe's message to the people of Vega. She urges them to help make it right. This is our city. And Michael burns one of his feathers and sprinkles his ashes on his body to heal. And then Alex returns to perform an eviction on Julian. And Alex starts the eviction, but he can't do it. And General Dryson gets it. And Alex then is chained next to Gabriel, along with Nona. Meanwhile, Gates can't shut down Zoe's broadcast. He has to get beyond the trench and manually hack in via the tunnels. He decides to do it himself and goes under the trench, and Claire tells him about the secret passageway. Enrica contacts David, tells him about Gates so he can stop him, and Gates hides from the resistance and starts hacking into the transmission. And Gates is fine. Claire's guards get him, and broadcast of Zoe is interrupted, and Claire is able to go live, and Claire and Gates then make love. Meanwhile, Julian burns one of the markings off of Alex, and Nona's wings are spiked to the wall. But she pulls herself free from her wings, and Julian is propelled back by one of Alex's markings. And then Alex and Nona escape, and they meet up with Michael, and he tends her wounds, and Alex and Nona get out. And Zoe shoots David's hands, and Alex and Nona find a house to rest. And Julian then captures Michael and brings him in to be with Gabriel. So in the next episode of Dominion, 207, Lay Thee Before Kings, it got a little bit of a higher rating, a 0.26 with 837,000 viewers. Michael and Gabriel are held prisoner by Julian, and Julian is going to electrocute them. He wants to break them and take one of their bodies as his own. So they have to take turns grasping an iron rod so they're not electrocuted, but they have to endure the charges continuously. Meanwhile, Alex and Nona are on the run, and Nona needs to heal without her wings. Meanwhile, Julian wants the amphora from General Ryson, and he remains intractable. Michael and Gabriel, meanwhile, are getting weaker, and Alex tries to find medical supplies for Nona at an abandoned store. And Eight Boys are there just performing. This is one of the best things about this episode, doing the menial store functions. They don't attack them, and they find a heap of dead bodies, humans, at one end of the store. Meanwhile, Zoe and David meet with Claire and Gates. Claire says she's sending soldiers across the trench unless Zoe surrenders. Zoe agrees, and then a sniper ruins everything on orders of David and shoots Claire, and Claire is injured. David planned it all. And Claire will recover, but she has miscarried and lost her baby. Meanwhile, Julian sets the voltage at a higher setting, and Michael and Gabriel feel pain. And Alex and Nona check out. They check out with supplies, but they get locked in, and Alex attacks one, and others lunge for them. Meanwhile, Julian brings Clementine, Ryson's wife, to him, and she's in a new eight-ball body. And Gabriel wants Michael to save his holy one, Alex. So Gabriel touches the live wires. Michael is freed, and Gabriel is severely injured, but he locks Michael out, and he still has to kill Julian. and Julian finds Gabriel alone. And Alex kills the eight balls and tends the wounds of Nona, and they're heading to Vega, but more eight balls are arriving. So we should probably talk about the last Dominion to at least review that. Yes, why don't we do that? So in episode 208, The Longest Mile Home, the eight balls are outside the store, and Alex fights them with the chainsaw, and then Michael comes, and the eight balls scatter. Meanwhile, Edward Ryson doesn't believe it's Clementine, but she says Julian brought her back. And Gabriel is injected with this drug by Julian, and he wakes and frees himself. He breaks out and sees Claire and Nona and the Queen of Helena. And the three say Julian is invincible. And Gabriel wants the girls to take the pins out to free his wings, but he needs time to recover. They tell him to stay there with him, and Claire kisses him, and she gets intimate with the three women. Meanwhile, Claire is going to raid the armory so the weapons aren't taken by Zoe. And William, Leo, doesn't, no one believes he's alive, and William beats a man up who disbelieves and kills him, takes his money to buy drinks. And while this is going on, Julian tells him he can help Claire defeat the rebels, or tells Ryson he can help Claire defeat the rebels by becoming a dyad. And Edward recalls how troops became an eight boss, how he sees the uniform of one General Ryson to protect his family. So he's an imposter, and now he's dying and needs to be saved, and Edward needs to tell Julian where the amphora is. So the armory attack commences, but Claire misled them. Claire's troops took food supplies in the ivory tower, and they blow up the armory. David Weill is alive and leaves Zoe for the troops there. And then Gabriel awakens and is in chains, and three girls are there, and Julian will break his mind and then take his body. He's been captured in prison, and Claire, in a surprising move, shoots Zoe in the head, and then William shows his markings, and he is going to cleanse the evil in all of the human hearts. So I think William is going to be a linchpin for something by the end of this season. And then Edward changes into a dyad, and Julian shows the amphora to Gabriel. So a lot of stuff is happening on Dominion. Okay, so now this brings us to the sci-fi lineup, where we will have to play catch-up very quickly. Dark Matter, episode 108, it dropped from a 0.3 to a 0.25. It stayed that way for episode 109. Six gets shot looking for the general and bleeds out. Then he evaporates. What the heck is going on? So several hours earlier, the Raza docks at the space station with two's help. Three has withdrawn because he's lost his love. Four talks to him, but three goes aboard the station too. And six wants to hang out by himself, but five follows him while the rest eat. And six tangles with criminals, gets shot. He's in a transfer transit. Why? His clone died, so he has no memories of the events, so six goes back in because he's trying to trace the general to do it through a clone. So five tells them what six is doing. So the sixth clone awakes off the station, has a short lifespan for a few days. The crew go through six's stuff. Five gets into his computer files and finds information on the terrorist attack, the Procyon insurrection, where and they think Six has bombed the station and was responsible for that bombing. So Six gets information from the female gang leader. So one in four are going after Six using the transfer transit. So they're posing as a couple, and they ask for Griffin Jones. They bribe her to go where Jones and Six went. And the sixth clone meets the group underground who take him to the general. Meanwhile, four and one awaken, but one looks different. And one says it's his real body because he had surgery. He doesn't know why he was posing as Jace Corso. And the girl leader pulls the guns on them, but four says he wants payback. So Griff meets General, and Griff is Six, who's pissed that 10,000 died on the station, and he chokes the general to death. But the general dissipates too because he's a clone. Wow. So one in four are underground. They find six. They all come back. Two is pissed. One lied about his identity. And six endangering them. And she wants no more lies, no more secrets. And then one finds out she is Derek Moss, the CEO, who lost his wife to Boone, number three. Wow. So in Dark Matter episode 9, four is missing on the ship. He's on the mining colony planet looking for his brother. But it's an ambush. He slays the men, but the leader, Akita-san, knocks him out. And two tells the crew four is loyalty, but was framed for murdering her father. And so the ship heads to the planet. Meanwhile, one dukes it out with three, but doesn't explain why he started the fight. Two confronts one, and one says he assumed Jace Corso's identity to kill three. Meanwhile, Akita-san tends to four's wounds and is delivering four as ordered. And then five wants to learn from the team how to fight. But six refuses, and five indicates she is a member of the crew. So Akita and four meet up with the gang. Akita-san and four fight. Akita-san is shot, but still manages to restrain four. And four addresses Akita-san's wounds, and the men come to arrest four to take him back to the home world. So one, two, and three come to rescue four. They do. Akita-san says if their paths cross again, he will take him in. Four brutally slays Akita-san. And then six apologizes to five. They make up. Four thanks them for coming, and he will remember them on the day he takes back the throne. Meanwhile, his stepmother had Akita-san take her son's place on the planet. So she's planning something. And then three destroyers, combined destroyers, attack the ship and damage their PTOs. That's what happens in episode 9. Okay, so Defiance, episode 309, Ostinato in white, and it dropped from a 0.3 to a 0.24. There's a beast tracking an indigent, and it looks like it's Yuo, Doc Yuo. She's caught and attacked and killed. What? So Amanda has a service for the 27 soldiers who died defending Defiance against Grom Tok, and one grieving parent yells at Nolan and leaves, and Nolan apologizes for his mistake. Meanwhile, Stama is staying at Tevgen's, and he tells her Datek secured a pardon for her to return home. Nolan returns Ender's son's rifle to him, and he just wants his son back, and he puts down his gun, and Ender appreciates Nolan making an effort. Meanwhile, Amanda shows Orisa the body of an indigent, and they take it to Doc Yuo, and the body is Doc's. WTF, it's a clone. And the beast attacks three more, killing them brutally. And it looks like the clone's lungs contain spores that are found in Old St. Louis, so Yuo thinks it's the Olmecs. So Kinsey shows up at Nolan's jail. They start making out, and she hears the beast and stops and goes out into the streets. Yuo finds the clone base and Kinsey there, and Kinsey puts an implant in the dock to make her docile and orders her to cut her hand, and Tevgen says no. And Kinsey commands Yuo to go back to Defiance, and Tevgen is pissed. Meanwhile, Amanda and Nolan confront Tevgen. He says there will be no more killings, and Nolan punches him, and Tev punches him even harder. And now Yuo tells the others that it was not a clone. She drugs Samir, and that she had drugged Samir. And now Kinsey is in stasis, and she was the animal. She was the beast that was killing the clone. And now Ender has hung himself at the end of the episode, the parent of the boy that was lost. Okay, finally, Killjoys, episode 107, Kiss Kiss Bye Bye. It increased a little bit in the ratings from a 0.2 to a 0.23. By the way, Killjoys and Dark Matter are coming back for a second season. John is trying to scan Klein's neural link, neural link. He put it on himself and is in pain, so Doc Porter removes the link and ruins the wiring and can't get a lead on Kalen. So they go to the Westerly Mental Institution to find a lead on Dr. Yeager. They meet up with a patient called Grayson. He was messed up by Yeager and takes them to Utopia, a black market, to this doctor, one Dr. Bliss. And John lets a techie examine the neural link who can fix it. They find Yeager's assistant, and John steals her device, but Dutch is arrested for removing Grayson from the clinic. And Dutch is released, and they find Yeager, and Dobbin wants to know why he killed his squad, and she said he had a psychotic break. They covered it up, so Dobbin wants his memories back. And Dutch reveals she killed someone at 8 years of age on orders of Kalen. So Dutch and Dobbin get intimate, and then Lucy tells Dutch that John had boarded the ship and left. And Dobbin is bleeding from the nose and has head pains. He then starts attacking Dutch brutally and mercilessly and says he has a mission. And they fight, and she knocks him out in the cargo hold, and John finds him restrained. And it looks like Dr. Yeager has activated Dobbin, and Dutch can't get to her through the force field. And then Dobbin stabs John and gets free, and Porter is contacted, who sees John and calls a medship. Meanwhile, Dutch breaks through the field, holds the gun at Yeager, and meanwhile, Dobbin is outside, so Yeager shuts Dobbin down, forces Yeager to choose the gun or a memory wipe. Dutch destroys all of her research, gives her the memory wipe, and then John recovers, and Dobbin is riddled with guilt because he remembers attacking Dutch, trying to kill John. It's just bloody, bloody, bloody. Okay, so we have finished for the night. We will be back next week, hopefully not Monday, but the weekend. Until next time, sleep tight, and here's our Space 1999 theme song.